Stephen Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about up-and-coming area in a real estate listing really means ghetto. All week, we're talking about infuriating real estate cliches.
The things you think of. The crap Jack says.
It's an up-and-coming area.
You know, I bet some of our listeners right now remember that. That was a whole thing for a while.
Yeah, the crap
I think there was
Jack
even
says.
A thread. I think there was a thread. Might still be there.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's still there in our online community about the crap Jack says. That was fun.
You know, all these cliches are used to describe real estate, and they're basically apologies in advance for something that's wrong with the property.
That's true.
You know, all last week we talked about cliches that actually are meaningful, like location, location, location. That's not so bad, but in an up-and-coming area, it just means that it's in a bad neighborhood.
Exactly. There's something else going on.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Before we get into it, though, let's take a question. That was actually the whole show. We're going to talk about statistics later about housing markets and why they're good or bad for what we do.
Okay.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free. And as you're listening to us, please drop your questions into the comments section below.
Okay. Ivan asks, I have a deal I'm working on, and when I do my due diligence, I found a judgment against the owner of the property I'm looking at buying. The plaintiff in the judgment is the state of Texas, if that matters.
It doesn't.
I had a title report run for the property, and for further confirmation, and they identified this abstracted judgment under personal liens, which may affect title. There are no outstanding real property liens that were identified. Can the owner legally sell me the property? This is a seven-figure judgment. If I can even buy the property, I would go through a title company at this point. I appreciate the guidance on this deal.
Okay, so what a judgment is, in case you don't know, is there's a lawsuit, and he lost. In this case, so people lose lawsuits, and there's a judgment. Maybe they lose. They get, whether it's civil or criminal, they get, you know, you've seen lawsuits a million times, even on TV, where you do something wrong, somebody sues you, and you owe them money. But in this case, seven figures. He owes the state of Texas seven figures for whatever he did. And they can put a lien on everything you own, personally. And corporate-wise and everything, it can destroy your life. So, and he hasn't paid it back, so there's a judgment. Which means that, here, the long story short is, don't do this deal.
I have a question about this, Seriously. So, what if he, I could understand they can go after everything he owns at that time, but if I sell it, what if I had you know, people move things around in these situations, they move homes around, they move assets around. So this guy sells his property, it's now not his anymore. It went from property to cash in the bank. So that's fine. They seize that. Why should this stop the transaction?
Based on
my Jill theory.
What's this guy's name?
I do not know.
The question asker, Ivan. So Ivan then sells the property, right? Everything's great. He buys a property for $10,000 and sells it for $30,000, just like we'd all do every day in our group.
Right.
And he's happily going along, and 2 years later, he gets a phone call and says, you know, that property that you sold, he gets a phone call from the person that he sold it to, or worse yet, three people later, which is more like what would really happen.
Okay.
And maybe they built a house on it now. And the state of Texas comes in and says, no. We're seizing this whole thing. Because this guy owned it, he had a judgment against him, and it's over.
Well, how come they didn't take it back right then and there?
It's a government. They're disorganized.
Oh. So the bottom, they can be weird.
That could happen. Or what this is probably more likely, nothing.
Right.
Will ever happen, it's probably going to be fine.
That's why I'm asking, because we all know people that has happened. We all know people that have been in pickles and who knows, like foreclosure situations and all kinds of things. They moved things around. They got them out of their name. They willed them to their mom.
Yeah.
Not kidding. And nothing came of it because they put it in their mom's name before the hammer came down.
That's right.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, you're talking about like bankruptcy and stuff?
Yeah, well, like even in this situation, what if he sold it, but he's got a judgment against him, but they haven't seized it yet.
The guy was smart. he should have removed the while this lawsuit was happening and all that.
He's done it before then, sold it before it all happened.
Obviously not smart.
Got it.
So, yeah.
I understand.
You just don't want to... There's too many deals. The way we send the mail out, there's too many good deals to do. This is one thing. I know where you go. I love your spirit, Jill, and I know...
No, I was going to say what you're saying right now.
I love your spirit. Like, you really want to make deals work.
Right.
That's why we get along. One of the reasons we get along so
well. Thank you. I do agree with you, what you're saying, and I just told someone that yesterday or the other, just on my Wednesday weekly Facebook Live show that I'm doing right now for people getting started. That was one of the questions. And it was, there's a time in each transaction where when you're doing your due diligence, if something like this pops up, you have to take a step back and ask yourself, is it worth it? And this is one of those times, Ivan, that where you go, is it worth it? Because it's too easy, like Stephen, you were going to say just now, send out more mail and move on.
Yep.
That's it. And I agree.
Today's topic, up and coming area, as a real estate cliche, really means the property's in the ghetto. This is the meat of the show. All week we've been talking about infuriating real estate cliches. Yep. And I don't get it.
I know. I think of up and coming. Well, there's a couple of things that I think of when I hear up and coming. I'm like, all right, uh-oh. That means it's up and coming area.
Red light, red flag.
My first thought is, uh-oh, it's old and run down.
Yep.
You know,
that's what I think too. In a bad neighborhood.
Yep. Well, that's it. And then the second thing that I hear up and coming area is... bad stuff happened there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yikes.
Was there a riot?
Like murder?
Was there a... Why is it... What went down? Up and coming. Like, uh-oh. And then my third thing that runs in my head is it was cheap, and now they're trying to increase the market value. They're like... Up and coming area to me... Remember like that... We did a house flip a while back. And we had a woman investor come through our door. We had an investor open house, and it was so cool. We were there just kind of drumming up new buyers and just kind of seeing what they're looking for, you know, in the area and what's going on. It was great. It was just a couple hours, and I'm glad we did it. And this one woman came through, and she was over the moon because she could officially say, as of that day, she just sold a house at the highest price per square foot in that whole zip code. She was responsible of that, and she was like bragging
her peacock feathers
million
were up.
Bucks. Yeah. And then as she left, I'm like, I wouldn't want to brag about that.
I wouldn't even.
Like, I feel like that to me, it's like it ties with these cliches. Like, I took someone for more than anyone ever took them for, and talked him into spending more than anyone has ever spent. I'm like, what the heck?
I don't know how you could be happy about that.
That was so strange.
It's pathological.
It was really... Well, what was interesting, too, is she was an agent/investor. Like, they did the renovation. So she did the work and really tried to get in and did, you know, get top dollar for it, you know. And she's trying to... I don't know what that was, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think that in her heart she's trying... I don't think that... Here's what I don't think. If in her heart... her whole goal was to try to increase the value of the property in the neighborhood to help everyone in that zip code, I would be 100% on board. Right? Right?
Because then
everybody would all go, oh, look how great this
She's
is.
Our about property. Her spread.
That's not exactly it. I don't, that's not what
her financial
she was,
spread in the deal.
Exactly. It was like, woohoo, we did it. You know, I talked him into it, you know, and just kind of bums me out. So when I hear this, yeah, I'm with you. This is a good one. Up and coming area. Like, well, okay, come on. What's real? What up and coming area is really, come on, what's going on? Tell me the truth. And if you're ever looking at a house in an up and coming area, if it's not your first question, it should be your first question. Like, what is really going on? What do I need to know and why?
Right.
Thank you.
Speaking of ghettos, let's look at this.
You're dying.
This is America's 10 cheapest housing markets.
This is cool. So if you're watching us on YouTube, right now, Stephen is showing us this website with some of these statistics.
Cheapest, number one cheapest zip code, Marion, Indiana. Median home price is $66,000.
Wait, this is a cheap, what year, if you don't mind my asking, do we know?
It is 2000 and...
18, so probably 2017
or 16.
All right.
U.S. home prices have risen about 5%. Over the past few years.
That's kind of cool.
For the an annual rate of 5% for the past few years. Used to be you could bank on 11%. Marion, Indiana, $66,000. Danville, Illinois, $69,000. Pottsville, Pennsylvania, $69,900. Bay City, Michigan, $88,000. And they also have the cheapest zip code within these MSAs, which I won't read.
Which are even cheaper.
West Virginia, $90,000. Pine Bluff, Arkansas, $95,000. Lima, Ohio, $95,000.
Look at the variation. I got to point that out.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's so interesting right now.
So Pine Bluff, Arkansas, the median home price is $94,500, but the cheapest in the zip code median price is $25,000.
Isn't that interesting? So in Pine Bluff, a different zip code would be $25,000. And then, you know, a zip code over is $94,000. That's insane.
So as a house flipper or an info lot, the reason that I bring this up is if you're buying and selling info lots, like many, many members and like we are of ours do, you want to avoid these markets like the plague. You know, if you're going to, An infill lot in Torrance, let's say in South Bay, Los Angeles, you know, it costs $500,000 because the house you're going to put on it, it's all priced based on the house that's going to go up. So it takes the exact same amount of energy for you and all your people that are the people that work with you to do a $500,000 deal as it does a $25,000 deal. Would you rather make $100,000 on the spread? And a wholesale spread or 5,000. That's why I bring this up.
Ding, ding. I want to point this out real quick for the listeners that are here with us right now who came to one of our live events, who experienced Stephen talking about what's coming in 2.0 and how to use statistics to find and buy info lots. One of the things that we all know he talked about was you're looking for consistency.
Right.
So based on this information that he's showing us right now on the screen, if you're watching, you can see like Pine Bluff, Arkansas.
Look at, there's an advertisement for Land Academy right on this website.
Oh, that's nice. That's really cool. We popped up. All right, that's really great.
Anyway, go ahead.
But that's awesome. And then there's Infusionsoft. That's funny, which we have.
Which we use.
That's great. eBay. Boy, we're in the right market here. It's awesome. All right. So, but what I'm saying is what Stephen's showing, like we talked about consistency for pricing info lots. Based on this information I'm staring at right now, I wouldn't do Pine Bluff, Arkansas.
I wouldn't do any of these on this list. I wouldn't even come close.
Elmira, New York. Same thing. If you don't mind me jumping ahead,
yeah, sure,
can I read
ahead.
That? So Elmira, New York, which is number 8 on the list for the cheapest, the median home price, $109,000. However, still within Elmira, New York, just a different zip code, same city, the median home price is $59,900. There you go. It's like, talk about inconsistent. Wouldn't want to be messing with that.
Topeka, Kansas.
To make it easy, by the way.
Topeka, Kansas, median home price is $109,000. Cheapest zip code in that area is $61,000.
Yep.
Cumberland, Maryland, median home price is $110,000. Cheapest in the zip code is $94,000.
That one I do. I like that. The cheapest zip code is $94,900 and the median's $110,000. That's consistent.
Well, I'll tell you the problem with all these. You want to price info lots at about 10 to 20% above 10 to 20% of the existing average home price. So now you're down to 10,000, 20,000. Buying it for 10,000, selling it for 20. So you're making 10 grand for a lot of work. You could be making 100,000 in a lot of different other more expensive markets.
Love it. Love it.
On that theme.
Yes.
This article on the internet talks about the best and the worst first-time home buyer markets. These are the top 10 best markets, they say. Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. I have no idea why. Tampa, Florida. Centennial, Colorado. Totally get it. Boise, Idaho. Totally get it. Grand Rapids, Michigan. It always shows up in these lists.
Wow.
I wouldn't touch it. Just for this fact alone, it's got the worst weather of anywhere that I've ever been. Ever. Thornton, Colorado, totally get it. Frisco, Texas. McKinney, Texas.
I get it. These are all Dallas, Fort Worth suburbs.
Is that good there?
Totally. Heck yeah. Are you kidding?
Is the weather bad?
Well, it depends. Certain times of year, they have ice and they have other things going on and tornadoes. But talk about business and growing. Come on.
Oh, and business.
By the way, no state income tax.
Yeah.
Texas is great for that stuff.
Cary, North Carolina.
Pretty. Lakes. Got it.
Gilbert, Arizona.
Newer homes. Cheap. Got it. No, I get it.
I get them all. Too.
Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. There's lakes around Oklahoma. Oklahoma's pretty. Certain times of year, there's tornado. You don't want to be in a double wide in Broken Arrow, probably. But
I'm not sure you want to be in a double wide anywhere.
This is true.
Here's the worst cities for new home buyers. Anchorage, Alaska. What the heck? Newark, New Jersey. You don't even want to go there, let alone own anything there. Huh. Elizabeth, New Jersey. Same thing. Miami Beach, Florida. Probably too expensive.
Yeah.
Real high crime rate. Oakland, California. Same thing. Expensive, high crime rate. San Mateo,
Raiders.
California.
Just kidding.
San Francisco. I don't understand why San Francisco gets bashed.
Wow. I think, honestly, I've seen it pop up on numerous articles that people are leaving.
Why?
They're just sick of it. They're sick of the money and the costs and the traffic. I have been reading and hearing a lot of people.
I love San Francisco.
I know, but they're leaving because of, you know, those reasons. A lot of it's the cost. It's driving them crazy. That's what I hear.
Number 8 is Flint, Michigan. Number 9 is Detroit, Michigan. I'm from Detroit, and I don't need to finish that sentence. And number 10 is Berkeley, California.
Yep.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another 15 minutes or so listening to the Land Academy show. Join us next time where we discuss bring your imagination as a real estate cliche means untenable.
That's hilarious. And we answer your questions posted on our online community, landinvestors.com. It's free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. I like the statistic thing.
Are we going to be showing anything today? Or?
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. I don't know if it was a hide behind the curtain day.
Oh,
that's fine.
I fell asleep at the wheel.
It's all right.
My little podcast show doesn't have two full-time producers like your YouTube show does.
Thank you.
Right. Jill has a cute little, what we thought was going to be a cute little show.
Cute little show.
Ended up being like ridiculously popular. It's a live Facebook, soon to be live YouTube show every Wednesday at
2:00 Pacific.
Yeah.
Join us. Join me. I was in costume last time.
Wildly successful. Turns out,
for Halloween, not last time.
Here's what we were just talking about over breakfast. It turns out that Jill appeals to people that are just getting into this business much more than I do.
You think?
And I appeal to some of the people that are in our group and out of our group that have been doing this and are now doing it as a career, a full-time career, and want to ramp up, and they're advanced. Jill's good with the beginners. Turns out I'm good with the advanced people. Jill has a lot more patience.
I prefer to call your group as special.
Jill has patience where I don't have a lot of patience.
Not at all. Awesome. But yeah, please tune in and watch, ask questions. It's fun. It's great. And ask anything. I don't care. Please be sure and hit the subscribe button to stay up to date on our podcast. Like us and comment on what like you would see in our future shows. And if you're listening on iTunes, please rate us there.
We are Steve and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.